Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, June 11th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. The message this Sunday is the Triune Mystery. The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13.
We worship the Trinity weekly. How often is the benediction done with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit? That comes from that passage in 2 Corinthians. We already sing, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Later on in our service, we'll sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, Creator Christ, and Holy Ghost. We speak in this language of Father, Son, and Spirit. Inclusive language also gives us the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer. We slipped some of that in, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost, into the doxology. Don't know if you noticed that. And yet, we still say we believe in one God. We claim we are a monotheistic religion. In essence, we're claiming that there are three divine persons in complete union. We call this the triune mystery. Our lectionary calendar considers today to be Trinity Sunday. This bends some people out of shape because it's the one Sunday on the calendar that references a doctrine or a teaching rather than a scripture or even a biblical event. And Trinity, it's kind of a tough one to explain. So I'm wondering, how have you had it explained to you? Anybody ever tell you about, is it like water? Oh, a clover, right? So St. Patrick had the three-leafed clover, so they're sort of hearts, but they're all one stem. Yeah. So you might have heard water. There's water, there's ice, there's steam, but it's still all water. Anybody else heard anything? Yeah.
Well, my grandmother is also a mother and also a daughter.
Ah, yes. So she's one person, but depending on how you're relating to her, she's the grandmother, she's a mother, and she's a daughter. Yeah. Any other ways you've heard the Trinity explained? Yeah, I think there's an egg, right? If you think of an egg, it's got a yolk, it's got a white, it's got a shell. And everything is parts of an egg, but it wouldn't be an egg if it wasn't, like, all together. Yeah?
Some things are beyond our senses.
Okay, you're skipping ahead on the sermon.
I'm sorry.
It's my turn to preach, right? You're good, though. We'll get there. Any other ways you've heard the Trinity explained? Mary Mills was sharing at the 9 a.m. service that she had a child explain it to her this way. Well, it's really easy. It's like that stuff I have in my shower. You know, it's body wash, and it's conditioner, and it's shampoo, all in the same bottle. Yeah, goodness. One of the other ways that sometimes the Trinity is explained is with names or nicknames. If you know somebody named Jonathan, but they also might be called Johnny, or even JJ. But they're still one person. St. Augustine described the Trinity as the lover, the beloved, and love. A newer explanation that one of my colleagues has that keeps some of the personness but adds to the relationship is she imagines the Trinity as like a dance where three people are holding their hands in a circle and moving. And smiling and interacting with each other. And she even has a statue that comes out of one base, but they're all holding hands. But I do wonder, thank you, Mike, if any of these really explain or capture the Trinity, because it just really doesn't make any sense. Let's be honest. It's not logical. And if you ask anybody in this room what 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals, the answer is 3. And yet we say 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1. And on top of that, it isn't even biblical. There is no word Trinity in the pages of our Bible. So where do we get this illogical and unbiblical thing called the Trinity anyway? Well, to answer this, we got to go back into history a bit, because it's part of the history of the early church. Now, not as early as the Acts community or when the 12 disciples were hanging out with Jesus. A little later than that. You got to jump forward to about 300 A.D. Now, if you remember a little bit of your world history, this is when Emperor Constantine was in power. And when Emperor Constantine was in power, and through the influence of his wife, Christianity got to come out of the house church and really small secretive things and became a welcomed and state religion. But then Constantine got to notice that there was all this infighting among the bishops. And this was not nice, debatable fighting. This was like fist fighting kind of fighting between the bishops. And their fight was about this. Well, if Jesus is God, and God is God, but we only believe in one God, this doesn't work. And by the way, if the Father begat the Son, who is Jesus, then is Jesus created by God? Because if Jesus was created by God, there would be a time when Jesus didn't exist, therefore Jesus could not really be divine. And so these smart and passionate people were called together by Constantine to hash this out. You all need to show up in the town of Nicaea and figure this out. So the brilliant and theological minds of the day worked on hashing this out. It took them over a month with the Emperor Constantine hanging over their head saying, you better have a solution to this. And in the realm of church history, the Trinitarians won that argument. The people who didn't really believe in the Trinity got exiled. And the Nicene Creed was declared. It declared that indeed the Christian understanding is that we believe in one God. We believe in Jesus Christ, who is begotten, not made. So not created, begotten. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Okay, so I got to show off my Master's of Divinity this morning. I suppose it's graduation season. I got to say that I graduated once upon a time. So how many of you knew this piece of church history? Okay, so some of you, right? Okay, how many of you care? I mean, is the Trinity important to you? Is the Trinity important to us? Sure. I would say sure as well. Because this Trinity is more about putting some of our limited human language to our experience of God. It's less about defining God and saying God is an egg, because God's not an egg. It's more about approximating how humans and God interact in the best ways that we can. For indeed, if you think back in your own faith journey, there are times that God is utterly beyond us, right? Transcendent, beyond our understanding or any of our experience. There is a sense of mystery and not knowing. God is God and we are not. And yet, there are times that we trust and know that God is profoundly with us. We know this in Jesus. Jesus comes and is with human beings in the flesh. That's what incarnation means, in the flesh. And Jesus came to be beside us, to teach us, to show us, to feed us, because God wanted to be in an understandable form to us. And so we as Christians believe we know God most fully in the life and teachings and death and resurrection of Jesus. So at times God is beyond, at times God is with, and God is also at times within us. Because even when Jesus is no longer walking on earth, we still encounter the risen Christ or the still small voice of God. Or those times when God is closer even than our own breath. Or sometimes those times that you just know by faith that God's right there. So yes, God is right there. God is with. God is beyond. And to leave out any of those aspects feels incomplete. And so we put all three together in our picture of the divine. That's the Trinity. And here's a final thought for us today. You don't need to understand this doctrine in order to enjoy it. If you think about this, we do this all the time. You don't need to know how your television works to be able to enjoy the game. You don't need to know how the chef prepared the meal and all the ingredients to enjoy the meal. Graduates don't have to have the entire future of their life planned out in order to go live it. And so, for us this day, I think we don't have to understand the Trinity in order to share it and sing it and worship the triune God. It's okay if you don't have the perfect analogy for explaining this. Because very few people in our hurting world need to hear the fine-tuned Nicene debates about how Jesus was begotten, not made. But there are many people in our world who need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So go out and proclaim that, and live that, and celebrate that, and we will be celebrating our triune God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.